On what basis can one claim an exalted status for oneself? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm your host, Alden Thompson, and we continue our series in the book of Proverbs, focusing today on Proverbs 30. My conversation partners are Dave Thomas, Dean of the Walla Walla University School of Theology, and Linda Emerson, Assistant Professor of Philosophy. And I've raised that question of, on what basis can one claim an exalted status for oneself? What I would like to do is to read two prayers, surprising prayers. As I prepared the study guide, I hadn't ever tumbled to the fact that there were actually a couple of prayers.
In Proverbs 30.
Proverbs 30. And this is Agur, who's probably not even an Israelite, but I found both of these prayers, and it will have a bearing on the question I asked. So, chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. I am weary, God, but I can prevail. Surely I am only a brute, not a man. I do not have human understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I attained to the knowledge of the Holy One, who has gone up to heaven and come down, whose hands have gathered up the wind, who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak, who has established all the ends of the earth. What is his name, and what is the name of his son? Surely you know. That's an echo of Job's prayer, you know, where the conversation, as Elder Balhury said, God gave Job a quiz and he flunked it, 0 out of 84. See? No, Job, you don't know those kinds of things. So I thought that was a very nice touch. Now, the other prayer, and we touched on this one a few weeks ago, but it's the other prayer, which I think is also helpful, down to earth, chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God.
I think that's a beautiful prayer, Alden, the second one especially. It's for some reason touches me because, you know, I spent quite a few years teaching from a class on the Hebrew prophets, and it struck me one day that in human experience, the blessings of God can very easily lead to a sense of self-sufficiency and then the rejection from God. And you see this cycle over and over again where God blesses the people, they achieve stability and enough more than enough resources, and then they go off into idolatry. And I mean, I know the Wesley brothers wondered about this. You know, I don't remember the exact words, but I think John Wesley said that he struggled over the fact that if you incorporate the principles of Scripture into your life, it produces frugality and honesty and diligence, which in over time produce wealth, which then produces a sense that I don't need God. And his answer was, save all you can, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are. But this is a beautiful prayer here that actually, I think, would, if we all lived like that, the world would be a lot better place.
Certainly would. You know, Maya Angelou says some of the same thing that Wesley did, because what Wesley said as he watched this process, he didn't see how any reform could last very long, because that process inevitably leads people away from God. But Maya Angelou, talking about her own community, the black community, she says she has noticed that the sense of dependence upon God, as people become more wealthy, it's inversely proportion to their sense of need of God.
Heaven will have a lot of people who are poor on earth.
And statistics show that when it comes to just plain generosity, the poor are much more open than the wealthy. It's just really
But I have to, I may even type this out and put it on my desk. Do not refuse me before I keep falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me only my daily bread.
Wow. Now, let's look at one section here where you have the contrast, and I'm going to read some verses here from Proverbs chapter 30 again that talk about the dangers of inappropriate exaltation. Chapter 30, verse 11, there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers, those who are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth. Then these other applications follow on. Those whose eyes are ever so haughty, whose glances are so disdainful, those whose teeth are swords and whose jaws are set with knives to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among mankind. This last verse here, and then I want to come back and comment. Chapter 30, verse 32. If you play the fool and exalt yourself, or if you plan evil, clap your hand over your mouth.
Wow.
You see, this earlier one, verse 12, they are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've exalted yourself. You have no idea how evil you actually are.
Yeah, an inflated opinion of yourself is very distorted. Wow.
Now, in our culture today, let's just talk about some contemporary applications here. Where do we find, and Linda, maybe you know this from philosophy, but where do you find the genuinely sensitive sources of morality in our culture today?
In our culture?
You mean by that non-strident?
Genuine touch to the heart. In other words, genuine morality, not arrogant, not cynical.
Not authoritarian.
You mean, are you thinking about in contemporary conversations or contemporary writings? Or are you...
Conversations, I think.
Conversations with people?
Yeah, well, all of the above. In other words,
okay,
if you were going to recommend an author or a book, for example.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or if you look at the national conversation, in the national conversation, are there any non-strident authoritarian?
Well, I think if we look at certainly if we consider the kind of the cable news mentality to be the way we enter into public discourse, the thoughtful voices are difficult to find. I think there are some, but they're difficult to find.
I think they're difficult to find anyway.
Well, see, I agree and I disagree.
I think
the voices are present. I agree in the sense that I think in every age, the truly thoughtful voices require some fine-tuned hearing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, and again, this isn't my only model, but it's a place where I'm spending a lot of time because of Western thought this quarter. In the ancient world, in the Greek world, there was a calamity of voices near the end of the 5th century. Moving into the 4th century BC in Athens, Greece. I mean, you know, Athens had just gone down in flames in this war with Sparta that they expected to win and establish themselves as the greatest imperial nation in the Mediterranean, and all things went badly. And so now there is this cacophony of, you know, who should we blame? Whose fault is this? Like, this is one person's fault. There is just one cause for all of this trouble. But in the midst of that cacophony, some of the most incredibly thoughtful, discerning, wise voices could be heard. I think the same is true today. And for me, of course, I read pretty broadly. But I find thoughtful voices in Christian theism. I find thoughtful voices in theism more broadly. And I even find impressively humane voices in the secular world. You know, actually kind of recalling us to a conversation we've never really lost from the ancient world. And this is the ancient world, too, the world where these scriptures were written. You know, this is a world that's a couple thousand years away from us. And so then these voices are oddly contemporary. Does that make any sense? I mean, I hear people actually expressing these ideas. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, I hear ideas expressed by people who are not religious persons at all, not informed necessarily by any particular theology, but who, offer sort of echoes of what I've read a long time ago here. And now I'm going back, and that's why I asked you the question. I find myself actually really enjoying reading the Proverbs, actually really enjoying reading Ecclesiastes. Like, I'm finally old enough to know what this means. This is really important. So I guess I do hear those voices. Yeah. I think we have to listen. In every age, we have to listen.
See, and Alden, I feel very uncomfortable with people exalting themselves.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a personality function, but I find it very difficult to talk about myself or to promote myself. I know there are people who don't do, who have no trouble doing that.
Right.
But it seems to me that if you are doing well, let other people.
And Proverbs says that in Proverbs so many words.
They're either going to see it or they aren't. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, Dave, I don't know how this all works in your psyche or yours either, Alden. But in my own psyche, it seems to me that it is time in my life for me to organize myself this way.
Yeah.
To put myself in a place of surrender to the one who made me.
Yeah.
And I appreciated what you said last week, Alden, about trusting in the Lord, offering that prayer of surrender. I'm all mixed up. I love what you said years ago in your own distinguished faculty lecture, that God's people can't keep it together for more, you know, can't figure it out for more than 15 minutes at a time. I take on that mantra. Lord, you know, I pray for discernment.
Well, I find that very encouraging, you know, because, you know, you look at the church, you look at the world, there's all kinds of reasons for being discouraged.
And angry. Yeah.
And angry.
But it doesn't, but it, what's, yeah. but that's the kind
but
of.
But I think of the voices of hope, and Paul especially, now in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope,
right.
for who hopes for what is seen, but if we hope for what we do not see.
Yeah.
We wait for it with patience.
See, that makes me just tearful. Yeah. I think it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful passage.
And it's and I think that's when we're focused that way, Dave, then we are not this person, I think, who thinks too well of ourselves, but we have now put ourselves in the service of the one.
And you know, thinking too well of yourself can set you up for a mighty fall.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Proverbs 30, verse 1, I am weary, God.
Yeah.
That, you know, that all of our machinations tire us out eventually.
Yes. And my guess is that there's probably more of a personal struggle than we want to admit. There's one point, I don't use it very often, but it's one which comes home to me because I'm such a deeply religious person in spite of all my flaws. But Eva Ligalian makes this statement. People who are born even-tempered, placid and untroubled, secure from violent passions or temptations to evil, those who have never needed to struggle all night with the angel to emerge lame but victorious at dawn never become great saints.
So is that your aim, to become a great saint?
Not really a given saint, but it's something within me which is non-volitional, you know. Mm-hmm. I just have this great longing to be with the people of God and to be with God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's so hard to find.
Yeah,
that's so hard to find. Well, thank you, you two. We've only got one more lesson to finish up on Proverbs, and that's the last chapter. I want to thank both of you, Linda and Dave, for being part of our conversation, and my thanks to David Olson, our program engineer, to all of you for listening in. For the Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.